Okay, I think it's working. Okay. So this is Sandy Leote, and I'm here with Tony Schmidt from Rogers Instruments. It's February 29th, 2012. This interview is part of the Washington County Museum Oral History Project documenting the growth of the high-tech industry in Washington County. Tony, do I have your permission to record this interview?
Yes.
Okay. So can you just start by saying your full name, your place, and date of birth?
Tony Schmidt. I was born in McMinnville, Oregon, in January 20th, 1960.
Great. Now I'm going to check the recording. Tony, can you tell me a little bit about your educational background?
I received my bachelor's in accounting business at Oregon State University, and it's kind of quasi-educational. It's part of the accounting program. I went to work for a CPA firm, Moss Adams, for a few years and received my CPA license. So that's, you know, quasi-educational, I suppose.
That was after,
after
your time at OCU?
After that time, yes.
And then what led you to a career at Rogers?
I think mostly I wanted to get, because I had been in public accounting for a few years, and I wanted to get something that was, I guess, more in the manufacturing side of things. And I've always been interested in music. And so actually, you know, being able to combine all those things into one career was appealing to me, because you had the music aspect as well as building things that's, you know, that people get to play and enjoy, as well as doing the accounting and finance stuff that I enjoy doing.
And how did you make your connections here?
Oh, here at Rogers?
Yeah.
Actually, there was a person that I went to college with that was working here on a temporary basis, and at the same time they were looking for an accounting manager at that time, and he put in a good word for me at that time as I was interviewing for the position. And that's how I came to start here.
Nice. And so what was the transition like for you from working at, you said Moss Adams was the
yes.
first place you worked, to here? What were some of the differences in the companies?
Well, one of them is, you know, you're in one place all the time when you're here, versus when you're at Moss Adams, you're working in audit and tax. So you're typically going out to other clients and other businesses, which has its advantages too, but you also do a fair amount of travel. So the not having to travel as much was, you know, appealing to me.
Right.
Not so much to some people, but for me it was a plus. I'm sorry, the question again, I answered everything there.
Yeah, it's fine. I was kind of just trying to get at how working at Rogers differs from your previous work.
Okay, yeah. The travel and the just being a part of different businesses obviously is an advantage there, but you also get to have more of a family environment here versus auditing. You typically are working with different people all the time, which has its advantages and disadvantages too, but you don't, you know, like I belong to this company, but, you know, what is this? I go in and I go to my desk every couple of weeks, or, you know, once a week or something, and that this is where I work, but I'm hardly ever here type of
So the ability to make connections.
Yeah.
And you, in the pre-interview, you also mentioned that the working environment was something that stood out to you from your early days of working at Rogers.
Yeah.
Can you say a little bit more about that?
From that standpoint, I mean, I had just started out with the company, and I was, every year we'll give service awards for, you know, the number of years people have been here at the company. It's usually every 5 years that someone would get an award, and I was just amazed. The people that were getting 20-year awards looked like they were, you know, barely in their 30s. So that, you know, that kind of stood out to me that, okay, this is a company that, you know, people enjoy working at because they've been here for a long time. So that told me a lot about the company, just by the number of people that had been here for so long, which I think is you know, not so typical these days.
Right.
To find people that have been here for 10, 20, 30 mm-hmm. years. I mean, we have a couple people that have been here over 30 years.
Wow. And why do you think people stay so long?
I don't know. It just has a nice family type culture to it.
Yeah. That's great. What makes Rogers unique as an employer? Okay, I'm going to back up for a second, though, and go back to the culture. And when you said you first came here, it was kind of a tight-knit community.
Right.
People stayed a long time. How has this changed over time, if at all? Or has it stayed pretty consistent?
Yeah, I would say it's stayed pretty consistent. I mean, unfortunately, like a lot of companies these days over the years, we've had to have some cutbacks as well. And
mm-hmm.
so we are certainly fewer in number than we were a number of years ago.
Right.
But there still is quite a few people here that have been here for quite some time. And there's probably a handful of marriages within the small number of employees that we have as well, too, so it makes it even a little more family.
So people spend time outside of work together?
Yes.
Nice. Can you think of anything else that stands out about your early days of working at Rogers?
Just that it was a satisfying place to work and a good group of people to work with. I think people seem to have the mentality of, you know, working with each other as opposed to I work for this person or this person works for me, that we're all working together for a common goal.
And you've been here since 1989, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so 23 years now?
Yeah,
so you
in August. In fact, the first day that I started was in this building. My first day was, here are your boxes on your desk, unbox all this stuff, and then get to work. And so, yeah, I was right out here unpacking boxes the first day I started at work.
Nice. So this is the same building
yes.
as when you first started.
Right.
Have you expanded at all?
This was the last edition that was completed in 1989 when Roland Corporation had bought us the year before.
Okay. Can you talk a little bit about your career development since you've been here?
Okay.
The different roles you've had. Positions.
Okay. Just at Rogers here?
Yeah, just at Rogers.
Just at Rogers?
Yeah.
I started out here as accounting manager, and then between 1989 and now, or a few years ago, I was promoted, was promoted to assistant controller along the way, controller, and then just a few years ago to senior vice president and chief financial officer.
What is a controller?
Mostly handling the accounting
okay.
aspect of things, so making sure your financials are done correctly and that your taxes are done right and all of that. And the CFO position is related, but it's usually involves more responsibilities within the finance area.
Okay, good. And how has the company supported your development or advancement in your career?
Just continuing to, because of I still retain my CPA license even though I don't practice as a CPA. So just my continuing education that I have to have each year. I've got to have 40 hours of continuing education every year. And so the company's been supportive in, you know, that training.
Okay. Is it common for people to get promoted within the company? Do they try to hire within?
Try to hire within, and yes, there are some promotions there. Being a smaller company, the opportunities aren't quite as
mm-hmm.
large as what we'd like to see, and certain positions are more difficult to fulfill internally. But I've got a great example in my area, in the accounting area. We had someone that was working on the floor in the manufacturing area, and she was also taking some accounting classes over at PCC, so had a desire to want to do something a little different, and we had something open up in accounts payable, and now she's our Kathy Watson's our senior accountant now.
Oh, wow, so she can totally switch careers in the same organization.
Right.
That's nice.
Right.
And have you had any, have there been any influential professional relationships that stand out to you?
There's been several. Certainly our, the founder of Roller Corporation, Mr. Kakahashi, Ikutaro Kakahashi, and Kaz Tanaka, who is the current president of Roland. They've been very supportive of Rogers, their vision and leadership for not only Rogers, but for the Roland Group and Roland Corporation has been influential in my growth here at the company. More here on site, because they're usually in Japan and we see them once in a while. People like Dennis Houlihan and Lloyd Robbins, Dewey Kuhn, and Mark Malbon. You've either been here or they've been working for our parent company one time, sister company now, Roland Corporation, U.S., for Dennis Houlihan and Mark Malbon. And then Mr. Kuhn and Mr. Robbins have been president here, and so just their leadership and mentoring over the years have been influential in my development.
Great. Can you talk a little bit more about the relationship between Roland and Rogers?
Yes. just a little bit of background.
Mm-hmm.
I think it must have been back in the 60s or something like that, or maybe early 70s. Mr. Kakahashi actually built an organ in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
But he figured that there wasn't a big market for organs in Japan, since it's not predominantly a Christian nation. So then he developed the company of Roland, and so he made that a very successful company and continues to be. But then when he had the money to do so, he bought an organ company. So he bought Rogers in 1988, and. And that, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on your question here.
Oh, I was just asking you to talk a little bit about the relationship between Rogers and
Roland.
Oh, yes,
I'm sorry, yeah.
No worries.
And so, over the years they've helped us with the technology aspect of things and investments in the company and guidance and leadership in the music industry itself.
Mm-hmm.
Just a whole lot of different aspects that they're able to help us out with, since they're a much larger company and have many more engineers than what we do.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to help us out technologically more than what we'd be able to do on our own. And they, continue to be as supportive today as they were when they first bought us over 20 years ago.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna just back up to you again and ask you, and this might feel like I'm putting you on the spot, but what do you feel like your most important contribution to Rogers has been?
Well, I hope I've given, especially in this day and age, I hope I've given good service and integrity to the accounting and finance area. When you hear about all these other companies that have had lots of problems, I pride myself that we've not had any issues in that that particular area. Some projects I've been involved in that I've been, that have taken lots of time and lots of effort, or bringing on, new ERP systems or CRM systems. That,
what are those?
Enterprise Resource Planning, which essentially is your company software that records all the transactions throughout the company, all your inventory movements, all your sales, all your, this and that, any transactions that go through the company that have any financial bearing, paying your bills, paying your employees, things like that. It keeps track of all that.
So you brought those on board?
Yes, with you know a number of people's help around here, okay. And I help in leading the effort there.
Okay, great. Now I'm going to ask you some specific questions just about Rogers. And can you say a little bit about what you know about Rogers' origins, how the company started?
Well, the company actually started as an offshoot back in 1988. Tektronix was inviting the engineers to come up with new products.
88?
Excuse me, 58.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think so.
It was a little bit older than
58, I'm sorry, yes.
No worries.
New products, and then Rogers Jenkins and Fred Tinker presented plans to make a classic Oregon. Tektronix board said no, but President Howard Vollum, I think it's how it's pronounced, a Thayer Oregon enthusiast, and Jack Murdoch personally helped get the business started. Beyond that, you're talking about the changes in ownership with the company?
I'm just curious about what you know about how it started, and if that's kind of the extent of your knowledge.
That's kind of the origin of the starting of the business.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
How did you, is there, and maybe it's just common knowledge around here, but how have you come to know about the history of the organization? Have there been stories told? Are there people that have worked here back then or still involved?
There's not too many of those that are, because Fred Tinker, one of the founders here, he was very active over at Beaverton Christian Church, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But he retired 10 or so years ago or something like that. So some of the stories from the very beginning are probably not talked about all that often,
right.
Really, and so it's, you know, some of these historical documents
mm-hmm.
really give us some of that history. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Can you talk about what the role of research and development is at Rogers?
Wow. It's the lifeblood of the company.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some people might wonder, with such a, you know, old instrument, how much technology do you really have to develop on something like that? But there is, you know, just the sound generation itself is a very subjective type of thing, and so we pride ourselves in being, you know, the most authentic digital organ company that makes organs today. And a lot of that comes from the technology that comes from our engineers here at Rogers, as well as help from engineers at the Roland Corporation.
Mm. Can you talk about some of those technological advancements or innovations that you guys have been...
from the beginning or just
talk about the
recently.
Ones that I mean as the ones I would say from the time that you've worked here that you can remember and mm-hmm. that stand out to you as being the most influential.
Okay. Well, I'd say some of these here was back in 87 Rogers was the first to introduce MIDI into church organs.
And what is a MIDI?
Musical I'm not sure what the maybe it's musical instrument, digital interface, something along those lines. So it allows two musical instruments to talk to each other. And
oh, okay.
You can, for example, from the organ, you could might be able to play a keyboard that's sitting over there and use the sound of the things that are on. It's, and it works with sequencers and other types of devices and things.
Wow.
So it's more of the electronic exchange of information.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the other ones, Rogers was the first to use memory cards and sound sequences in their organs. Rogers introduced the voice palettes or stops or built-in alternatives for voices. When I say voices, I mean the sound that that the organ is making.
Oh, okay.
They refer to as a voice.
Oh.
So one sound You can, will come out when you get a key, but if you use one of the voice palettes or another sound behind it, you can get a different sound using the same control within that. So that was something that we introduced. And then probably more recently in the new 500 series, or actually the model 578 Oregon, Rogers is the first, that was the first Oregon built with the Roland Revolutionary SSC chip and sound engine technology.
What is
so
that?
It's essentially, it makes the controls within the organ and the sounds of it more authentic, and because I think probably, like I said, since sound is so subjective, we actually have pipes down in our showroom, and our organs can be hooked up to pipes as well, although we're predominantly sell digital organs. If you were to play the organ with the pipes up there, and you know, you had someone turned around, probably over 95% of the people, if not more, would not be able to tell whether you're playing the pipe organ or you're playing the digital sound that comes out of the speakers.
Oh wow, that's amazing.
So, yeah. So this is, you know, these are some of the technology innovations that our engineers work on to try and make it sound as authentic as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And even a pipe organ itself doesn't have, you know, just a perfect sound in itself. It has its own unique sound. And so even trying to emulate some of those imperfections, mm-hmm. so to speak, depending on the the sound purist, that whether it's, you know, sounds better if you don't do that versus this is what a pipe organ sounds like. So most people want it to sound like a pipe organ, even mm-hmm. if it isn't. And, you know, our advantage there is that it's much less expensive to recreate it digitally than to have to buy expensive pipes and to get all these extra sounds. But you can have combinations of them as well. So if someone had a pipe organ in their church and they wanted to replace it, we could replace it with one of our consoles, hook it up to that, and then also add the speakers so they could have additional sounds as well as what they are used to. Plus the pipes, you know, look very nice usually in the church, and they don't want to remove them.
Right.
So they'd like to be able to, you know, utilize those and get some additional sounds as well.
So did you say that Rogers was the first Oregon company to go digital?
I wouldn't say we're the first to go digital. It's more of, let's see. We did build one of the first digital organs, but I don't believe it was the first digital organ ever.
Okay, but you guys have made some advancements in the digital.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We feel that sound is our advantage.
Right.
When we're competing with our competitors, as well as, you know, just the look of the console shell and all of that, because our woodworking area, I think there's certain innovations that those guys come up with too, just beyond just the engineering that happens on the sound of things. It's just the way that things look and are put together, and so there's some pretty neat things that those guys do too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So it's kind of melding technology and woodwork as well. Interesting.
Yeah, which Oregon's a perfect place for that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Interesting. What about, can you tell me, I read some stuff about the environmental aspects of Rogers, and I was wondering if you could tell me more about the decision to comply with the EU's restriction for hazardous substances.
Oh, RoHS.
Yeah.
Right. Well, this was an initiative that Rogers took on, as well as the Roland Group, in complying with those, because we obviously still wanted to sell our products over there, but also try to be green in our approach to the way that we build these things.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to remove the lead from the solders that we make circuit boards from, and all this these types of changes within the company to try and support those efforts. And I think another one that's currently being worked on is called CARB, and that's out of California, California Air. I don't remember what it stands for, but essentially there's supposed to be a federal initiative that's based on CARB that's going to be coming out, and so we have to be very careful about the substances we put in there if we sell something in California right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's going to be done on a federal level, so it's something similar to ROHS, but in lots of countries are starting to do these things these days. It's
right.
It's difficult at best to try and keep up with all of them because, you know, we all want to try and keep hazardous substances out of our environment and all of that, but, you know, there's a price that comes along with that too, so you got to balance all this out.
Yeah. So are you guys ROHS compliant
yes.
everywhere or just in the for your organs that go to the EU?
No, we changed over everything.
Okay.
So
okay.
We took the lowest common denominator and decided that we're just going to make everything ROHS compliant.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. And this is sort of a hypothetical question, but how do you think organs in general and the organ industry would be different without some of the technological innovations that have been provided by Rogers, if at all?
I'm sure there's some. I'm trying to... I don't know if you want to pause that for a moment or...
Sure.
Okay. So yeah, I think when you you interview Dewey, he'll have better perspective on that side of it since he concentrates on the sales side of the business.
Okay. And is he the engineer too?
He started out here as our director or vice president of sales, and now he's currently president of the company.
Okay. Do you know if any of and you may not know the answer to this either, but do you know if any of the technology that was produced here is used by other organ companies?
No.
We're so it's all
proprietary.
Okay.
Within that, although I believe that we share some things with Roland Corporation back and forth, depending on what types of products that they're building.
Okay. So that makes you competitive in the field, right?
I think so. I hope so.
Let's see. Can you talk about some of the non-tech ways that Rogers has influenced or contributed to the industry?
Non-tech ways.
And some things that I was thinking of when I was looking at the website were I noticed that you guys do some support for organ education and some the establishment of some competition. Is that right?
Yes. Last year we started, in fact, they've got the first round, I think, of the organ competition. They do it in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. This is the second year they're doing it. And so, yeah, we host an organ competition. That's one thing that Dewey's been very adamant about is because of the low number of organists throughout the United States and probably elsewhere, he feels we need to do something in that regard. So that's certainly an effort that we've been working on hard as far as trying to set up some keyboard labs so that students can learn how to use the organ, because I think it is, especially the larger ones, very intimidating for people to play. And I found over the years that a lot of those buttons that are on there are actually little shortcuts that you might see on your computer, but they don't appear to be shortcuts if you're just looking at the thing. It's just like looks like a lot of controls on there. But certainly, yes, the keyboard labs as well as the organ competitions. And last year, the winner of the competition played at our dealer meeting. I think we've used him in a few other endeavors too. And I think there's a lot more people that have tried out for the competition this year, so we're real excited about that.
Nice.
And we go through a judging system, listening to the recordings first to start off to qualify people, and then they have some actual live performances that are conducted as well to come up with a winner.
Nice.
Yeah.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Do you, overall, what do you think has been the most significant contribution of Rogers?
To
the industry. It's a pretty broad question,
yeah.
And you may have mentioned it already, but in your, what do you think has been the most significant? Or even just to the products that you produce, since they don't go outside of Rogers.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, just with the products that we produce, I mean, our main goal is to produce products that are for the enjoyment of people that enjoy music, as well as the worship service
mm-hmm.
that people attend at their wherever they worship at.
Are churches your biggest consumer?
Probably the end customer. Most of our distribution actually is done through dealers or distributors.
Oh, okay.
So they usually have the direct contact with churches and homeowners and so on and so forth. But yeah, we're predominantly our major customer certainly is the church market.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you guys are, how big is your market? Is it, it's, I know it's not just in the U.S.
Yeah, in fact, that's another competitive advantage that we have with the Roland Corporation is they have joint ventures throughout the world. And so we're able to get into a number of other countries that we'd have a more mm-hmm. difficult time in getting into. And so that helps us out with that in selling more product around the world.
Great. And can you talk a little bit about how Rogers has changed during the 20 plus years that you've worked here, or maybe some of the most significant changes that you've noticed?
Well, I think like a lot of companies, we've had to, you know, try and do more with less.
Mm-hmm.
And
because of the economy.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. of the economy. And technology has certainly helped us out with a lot of those types of things, but you know, we're still building a physical product, so you can only go so far in mm-hmm. some of the technological things that you have here. But certainly we've tried to work smarter about what we're doing and just trying to make the product as dynamic as possible at a competitive price.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not trying to be the cheapest organ builder. We're trying to be the best.
Right.
And one of our slogans in the past is, you know, we want to be the best, not the biggest.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully the other one follows, but our focus more is on being the best and most innovative organ company that's out there.
So has the company grown at all since you've been here, or has it stayed pretty much the same size?
Well, it kind of depends on what you mean by growth. I mean, as far as the sales are concerned, I would say we certainly have our challenges in that area, and we're starting to see over the last few years some pickup in the export markets.
Okay.
But, you know, the sad fact, and this gets into some of the, I think, maybe it's questions later on as far as some of our challenges. One of our challenges is, you know, there's a lot of churches that are not using organs in their worship service.
Oh.
So we've got, you know, a big paradigm shift there in the overall church market itself,
mm-hmm.
since it's, you know, it is our biggest customer, end customer. So we've tried to come out with other products that are a little more versatile, not quite as intimidating, and still serve those markets. So mm-hmm. I would say growth-wise, we're, you know, the organ market is a very mature market. It's not, you know, it's not growing. It's not like people are going out and wanting to buy those
right.
like they are iPads and stuff these days.
Right.
Get
a little organ
and
an iPad.
We wish. But certainly there's room for growth there, and we think there's, you know, people that certainly would enjoy doing those things, but some of it's, you know, whether churches are using the organs, whether they, you know, want to spend their money on even a piano or something in their living room versus, oh, I want to buy a big screen TV. And mm-hmm. so even those types right. of things are competing somewhat against how you spend your discretionary time on things.
Right.
And so, you know, it's always a challenge to do that, but we're trying to address some of those with different instruments, as well as branching out into more of the export markets as well.
Okay. So what are churches, do you have any idea what churches are using now, if they're moving away from organs?
There's certainly been some churches that have moved totally away, mm-hmm. but we've also seen a little bit of a shift over the last few years where they're kind of rethinking that. And it's like, oh, we're missing something in our worship service. I even noticed it in my church when our organ wasn't working for, you know, 6 months or more, that the worship just seemed different.
Mm-hmm.
Just with the piano and you know, I'm not knocking the piano because it's a very good instrument too, but there's places for different styles of things, and you don't have to just choose one. You can have various things, but to say that we don't want to use it at all because mm-hmm. It's very useful in a number of settings.
Right, and it's kind of classic too.
Right,
it's what people know. And
yeah, and I think even people maybe that don't think that much about the organ, probably usually if they're getting married, they usually like to have a nice organ playing the wedding march and all of that, so mm-hmm. That's hard to replicate.
Yeah. So what, and you've kind of alluded to, and I don't know that much about organs, so you've kind of alluded to changes in the actual like, architecture of the organ. Mm-hmm. So some are more intimidating, and I take that to mean that they're like much bigger.
More bigger, yeah.
And are you guys making smaller ones too then that are more portable or?
Yes, we have.
For different spaces?
Within the Rogers brand, the 500 series that we came out with, probably the smallest organ that we produce under that name. But we also, help from Roland, we have the Roland Classic product line as well as Roland Atelier. And so those are geared more toward being smaller instruments. Some of them are portable, some are not. Some are for more of a professional setting, some are more for a home setting. In fact, I was just speaking with someone today, and one of the instruments that's currently out is in the Atelier, or the Roland Atelier line, and currently Lady Gaga has one of the
really?
Instruments that she's touring with, so yeah. those are some of the...
She could give you some publicity.
Yeah, some of the versatility that we're, trying to, quite a difference between her and, your typical church service. So.
Right.
Type of music that's played. So, like I said, that's one of the things we're trying to branch out into is, instruments that are more versatile in the way people want to worship because, you can put some of those instruments... If you want to play maybe more contemporary types of sounds on the Roland Classic or the Atelier organs and put something out in your church maybe if you're not as classically or traditionally for your worship.
Right. Yeah. Interesting. Okay, so I'm going to move into some questions about Washington County now.
Okay.
So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the relationship Rogers has to the larger community.
We belong to the Hillsborough Chamber of Commerce, so we've been involved with them for a number of years here, and so I'm trying to participate in making the community better there. We, for a number of years, we've participated in the air show that's right next to us here, and along with that, since we have a fair amount of empty space in the back of the property here, we usually let the volunteers for the air show park in our the space there. We just made donations to the Oregon Food Bank. We've been trying to, you know, help out in that regard, as well as volunteering and giving food and giving some extra monies for there. So those are some of the things within the area that we've been involved with.
Okay. And what about the area supports supports business? Because we know that this is a high-tech cluster in Washington
right.
County, and I'm wondering if you have any ideas about what about Washington County supports that? Or specifically, how does Washington County in any way support Rogers? That you can think of.
I don't know about directly. I think just certainly with all of the types of businesses that are in the area,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any, you know, direct thing that we have, but just the fact that we're in the Silicon Forest and gives us maybe access to some of the electronics, although I think they're, you know, available just about anywhere, but we're closer to where some of the stuff is being built,
mm-hmm.
as well as, you know, the obviously the wood products that are done in this area too, because that's a very important feature of our product as well. So nothing directly that I can think of, but those just the location itself, I think, lends itself to that.
Okay. And do you live in Washington County?
Yes, I'm in Beaverton.
You're in Beaverton, and have you lived here since you started working here? When did you move to Washington County?
I moved here in, 89.
And did you come here?
I started here in 89.
So did you move here for this job?
Kind of. I'm not sure which one came first. I was living over in Milwaukee and Portland when I first moved up here from Oregon State.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started working here in August of 89 and got married in December of 89. So those things kind of coincided.
Lots of
within
big
the same year. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if it was my wife or the or the business. A little bit of both, I suppose.
And what stands out about the area from when you first moved here?
I'm not sure if I should say this or not. The first thing that comes to mind for me is the traffic.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not trying to be negative at all, but certainly the fact that, you know, you've got large manufacturers mm-hmm. down the street from you that on a one or a two-lane street makes it hard to get out of the parking lot here.
Right.
So that's, you know, maybe I shouldn't even say that.
No, I think that's
but it's something that's real for I think me, because I have to commute to Beaverton. I started, you know, mm-hmm. staying here later and later and later and later just to try and miss some of the traffic, but I was, you know, here until like mm-hmm. 7 o'clock in order to do that. So I started coming in earlier and
right.
and leaving a little bit earlier and working from home to try and compensate for that. So that's certainly something that, you know, leaving only about 12 miles away or something like that takes me 30 to 45 minutes to get home.
And has it been like that since you first moved here?
Not when I first moved here, it was only about 20 minutes, but
okay.
Pretty much either way. But
so as it's grown.
Yeah, there's just mm-hmm. more and more, you know, traffics and traffic lights and
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. You know, like I said, maybe I shouldn't say that part of it, but it's certainly a reality for me. I'm sure there's something on the positive side I should be saying or thinking about here. It's
you can say whatever.
Yeah, I mean, certainly from the growth standpoint. I mean, that's
yeah.
the positive side of that is, I guess, the, you know, the area is growing,
mm-hmm.
and you know, people are because of all that, people are employed for the most part. Certainly, people still looking for work, but you've got more housing and cars and
mm-hmm.
people that have jobs. So that's probably the positive aspect of the increased traffic is, you know, people want to be here and
right.
there's reasons to be here and
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
all of that.
Well, I think it's, I mean, it makes sense. As the place grows, there's more traffic
yeah.
in the high industry or high tech industry cluster.
Yeah.
So, and along with the traffic, how else have you noticed any other changes in the landscape since you've been here in the 20 years?
Not too much. I mean, it's certainly, there's been businesses that, you know, there's, I think when I first started here, I don't know that Intel had any plants here
right.
other than Hawthorne Farms, I think it is. And then Jones Farm came on, I think it was, and then Ron Acres came on with that. And now mm-hmm. they're doing a big expansion over there. So certainly those, as well as the other companies that have come into the area with Solar World and was it Genentech, I think, is down the street mm-hmm. here as well. And, you know, so there's certainly been lots of good companies that have come into the area, which I think is good for Washington County. And mm-hmm. I think Washington County, or whoever has been involved in all of that, whether it's been Hillsborough or Washington County, has done a good job of trying to attract those companies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think we're better as a community because of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do you like about living in Washington County?
I don't know, I just like Oregon in general,
mm-hmm.
Including Washington County. All my kids live here and my grandkids, and so that's one thing near and dear to my heart from that standpoint, and just friends and family and all of that,
mm-hmm.
and my church and all of that are within Washington County here.
Oh, wow, everybody stayed, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
So far.
That's awesome. How many yeah. kids do you have?
Three kids, one still in the house. In fact, he's going to Portland State right now.
Oh, wow, nice.
He's majoring in electrical engineering. And then, so I've got the three kids and the two granddaughters.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
When do you first remember hearing the term Silicon Forest?
Not too long after. It'd probably been in the early 90s,
mm-hmm.
I think.
And do you, it's kind of an abstract question, but do you remember what that time was like? What was that era like?
I think just hearing about new companies coming into the area.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was the Dawson Creek part. I think it's really not even built up all that much when I first moved out here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was bought and developed by somebody's retirement account, whether it was Tektronix's retirement account or somebody's some retirement investors developed that area with the thought, I think, of bringing companies
mm-hmm.
in there that are on the high-tech end into things, and so they had some vision in that area, I think, to do that. So seeing the development over the years has been interesting to see, but I think there's been some visionaries, I'm not sure who they are, but
mm-hmm.
within the community here that have kind of fostered that and worked toward doing that. It just didn't happen on its own.
Right, right. Well, and there was tech downsized in the late 80s, I think it was, and a lot of startups came from that
right.
as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of propelled the growth of...
I'm not sure if it was that or if it was more of the all the internet stuff that happened in the 90s that got, you know, with the tech boom in the late 90s that really got some things started there.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly there were some companies in prior to that had been around the area.
So then what about when the dot-com bubble burst? Did you notice any changes then? I mean, it may not have affected you specifically.
Yeah, I think it affected us just from the overall market itself.
Right.
And I know a number of companies were struggling during that time, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing directly.
How have you guys adapted to, because, I mean, through the years there have been multiple recessions, and how has Rogers typically responded to those economic downturns?
Well, as far as the response, I mean, we have to look at the business and where the sales are coming from and all that. Mm-hmm. So it's all hinging upon what your sales are doing. Typically, we tend to be laggard as far as recessions go, because we have a very long sales cycle,
mm-hmm.
and so usually, once somebody says, "Oh, yeah, the recession started back here," we're usually probably at least a year or so beyond that,
because
usually people are accumulating, the churches or whoever, accumulating their monies over time.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if there was a recession, typically it's like, okay, well, we have the monies to buy this, and so we're going to go ahead and buy it because we've been working on this for the last couple mm-hmm. of years, type of.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so, but, you know, on the flip side, we're not leading that effort either. So when they say there's recovery, we're not always recovering as quickly as what some companies might say, that, okay, people are willing to, you know, spend more of their discretionary income now.
Mm-hmm.
Buying an organ is usually not on the top of the list of their discretionary spending.
Right. And then that's interesting.
Or giving to churches. I mean, that's, you know, that's where most of the, you know, money comes for churches, obviously, is giving for people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all hinges upon how generous people are with their monies, and when they're not making money. You know, it's one thing to maybe be in a recession and still have your job and maybe be making the same and wondering about the future, so you're mm-hmm. you know, you wonder about how much you should give at that point, versus, okay, I don't have a job, I don't have anything to give.
In Washington County and the tech industry here, with the growth of it, what do you think has been the impact on the broader economy, just of this county?
Boy, I don't think it'd be even half of its size if it was not for all the tech industry here.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many businesses around this area that are, you know, indirectly affected by the companies that move here,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the housing, restaurants, you know, grocery stores, any kind of businesses that are, you know, supporting the people that are in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And typically, I think in many companies, you know, that's a pretty good wage that the tech companies pay, so that certainly helps.
Employment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how has the community at large reacted to the growth of the tech industry?
I've not heard anything negative. I'm sure there's some people that, there's always somebody that doesn't like what's going on, but I think certainly the majority easily would think it's a positive thing for the area.
So it's pretty supported.
Yeah, I would think so.
And so this is my last question, and it's kind of a broad one too, but what are your thoughts or perceptions about why Silicon Forest developed in Washington County?
Why the Silicon Forest did, or why the Rogers did, or
why Silicon Forest? So some people, when like think some researchers when looking at other high tech industry clusters, assume different things like proximity to a prominent university, and we don't have that here in Washington County. So just curious about why Washington County? Why do you think it developed here?
I don't know. That's a very good question. But my guess would be, and maybe, my guess, I guess, would be companies like Tektronix being in the area, and some of the innovative mentality that they've had over the years have caused lots of other companies to be created, mm-hmm. including Rogers. I know there's a lot of other, I can't name what they are, but I know there's a number of companies in the area that came out of that. So my guess would be that Tektronix had a lot to do with mm-hmm. that whole buildup of Silicon Forest in this area. And because maybe there's more technical people, I'm not sure that there's more technical people here than others, but certainly the mentality and the wanting to grow those types of businesses in this area seemed appealing. Mm-hmm. But I think the whole community is, you know, just a nice place to live. If most people can get past the rain, I think the rest of it's great. And I personally like the cooler weather myself.
Yeah, me too.
But yeah, Tektronix is one that I'd have to say probably helped foster that.
So it served as like an incubator for all these other
companies.
Yeah,
exactly. That's mm-hmm. it's a good word for it. Beyond that, I don't have really any knowledge of it. That's just my sense being in the area.
Yeah. Anything about, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And then I guess my other thought is anything about the county that promotes tech businesses to come in, like taxes, anything with infrastructure that you know of?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how that works, but I know there certainly has been either county or state incentives for high-tech companies to come in where they, you know, waive their property taxes for a number of years in order to get, you know, people hired, and people hired means they have to have some place to live and so on and so forth. So I think they've certainly tried to, as a number of states have, tried to court these companies and try and make a case that this is a good place to build your new plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Have you guys benefited from anything like that?
No, not directly. Probably the only thing we've benefited from is some of the energy type things and changing over the fluorescent lighting and things like that I think has been sponsored by PGE or Oregon. I don't think that it's strictly a Washington County program, but but you know, fortunately, we haven't been doing much building for a number of years, so there's not too much for us to bring to the table as far as asking for incentives.
Right. Yeah, you guys have seemed like you've remained relatively stable in size and whatnot.
Right.
Okay. Well, those are all of the questions that I had. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Well, certainly appreciate this opportunity to give some of the history of Rogers in Washington County. I think this is a good thing to be doing, to kind of put this out here to the public as far as what some of the companies in the area have been doing and mm-hmm. some of the history of what's been going on here, because if you don't take the opportunity to record that somehow, that it just gets lost along the years. And I'm sure there's been, you know, things that I haven't mentioned, because I haven't been here for since 1958, or 1960, so I don't know all of the history of the company, but certainly it's good to make some record of it.
Yeah, definitely. And the document changes over time, because, I mean, Washington County is so built up right now, and it would be hard to realize without stories and people's experience that at one point it didn't look like it does today.
Right.
So it's really interesting. Well, thank you so much for doing this with us.
Thank you, Sandy. You know, advantage and disadvantage, people aren't, you know, replacing them every few years like they are the phones iPads and stuff, but they're not paying as much either, so that's good.
Yeah, that's true.
Just having a little bit of items are a little cheaper in there.
Do you want to do just the normal 727 computer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fine. 9:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Remind me to get you to sign the release before I leave.
Oh, okay. Turn on the light here.
Very church-like in here.
Yeah, a little bit of a sample of the products that we make here.
Yeah.
So this, like here is what I'm referring to a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get into a whole lot of the terminology, but most people would say this has four keyboards.
Mm-hmm.
But in Oregon speak, this is called a four manual. So if you hear the number of manuals, all it is a number of keyboards.
Okay.
So this is four manuals. This is a 480 masterpiece organ. When I was talking about the controls, like these down here, these are like shortcuts. So like if you pushed on one of these, a number of the sounds would light up.
Wow.
So when it lights up, that's the sounds that are playing.
Oh, okay.
I can't even pronounce, half of these names that are on here because they're...
And then there's all the pedals down
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
Wow,
fact,
this is amazing.
In fact, somebody, I think it was correct in saying that really this is another keyboard. So really
yeah.
this is a five manual because this is just another, this is a keyboard for your feet.
Oh my gosh.
Because it plays the same notes as you can up here, you can just play them with your feet.
How does anybody even learn how to play this?
Well, little by little, like everything else, when you start off on something smaller,
right,
and it's got these little rocker tab things that are on there, and it's got a lot of the same basics to mm-hmm. it.
My grandmother used to have not this big, but an organ, and I didn't mm-hmm. realize it until coming in here. I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, that's what she had.
Huh? Yeah.
But yeah, just the woodworking that they do on these things here is, it's like
yeah.
a fine piece of furniture,
really.
And, and they can do all kinds of custom finishing if somebody wants it in some other finish or color.
Oh, wow, nice.
That's
beautiful.
Yeah, so that's the basics of it. Oh, here's some of the more versatile instruments I was talking about before.
Oh, and they look a little bit more like keyboards.
Yeah. So this, in fact, I think this is the instrument that was referring to that Lady Gaga was using on her tour with somebody.
Oh.
It's one of these kinds of things
oh,
we've
yeah.
got. But it's got a pedal board that you can play with some of the stuff too on
uh-huh.
here. So, but it's got a little bit different type of controls as far as different sounds and other things on here. But yeah, this is more keyboard look because it's got, a little more of a metal and plastic
mm-hmm.
look to it versus most of the stuff we do here has the woodworking in it.
Do you think at any point you'll move more into doing the metal and plastic kind?
Not for organs. No, mm-hmm. I don't see us doing that. I think there's certainly a separation from that. Although,
okay.
Maybe somebody will think, okay, well, we could make something less expensive. Still have all the controls that somebody would be interested in buying. So
right.
a lot of it comes down to, supply and demand and costs
right,
and
right.
what you can sell it for.
Right.
So I wouldn't rule it out, but I don't see that anytime in the near future anyway.
Yeah.
So here's the pipe.
Yes, I did notice those.
So yeah, if you're playing this, somebody's up here playing this, if you're sitting back there, if you didn't know any better, you're thinking, oh, okay, well, they're playing those pipes that are up there. Well, no, they're not playing those pipes, they're playing the speakers that are behind here.
Are there organs
yeah.
that are like hybrids between the pipes and the digital?
Yes, we do those too. So, in fact, this one probably is hooked up to both of them.
Okay. Nice. Wow. It's yeah. amazing. It really is.
Yeah.
It's quite a feat.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thanks.
Yeah.